Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We're going to continue our series today on vision. And we've been talking for several weeks now on kingdom vision, spiritual vision. And so we started out several weeks ago talking about the Father's vision for us, our Heavenly Father's vision for us, how good He is, how He loves us, how He cares for us, how He provides for us, even in the midst of our mess, our mess ups, and our bad decisions, right? He's still good. But we talked about how we can never really have kingdom vision ourselves until we see that God, our Father, has a vision for us. He has a destiny. He has a plan for us. And those plans are good, right? They're there to give us hope in a future, as Jeremiah 29:11 tells us. Until we see that He has vision for us, we could never have kingdom vision ourselves. So we talked about the Father's vision for a few weeks, and then we actually transitioned into us having vision ourselves, us being able to see things not just with our natural eyes, but being able to see through the eyes of the Spirit what God has for us, right? So when we got kingdom vision, when we got spiritual vision, we'll be able to see beyond the attacks or past the trials and the tribulations of the enemy, right? When we have kingdom vision, we'll be able to see past stumbling blocks that the enemy puts in our way and even blinders that he tries to put on our eyes. So we will be able to have clear vision of the promises of God through His Word. When we have kingdom vision. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the enemy's 3D attack and how it comes to try and stop us from having vision, right? Kingdom spiritual vision. And the reason he comes to try to do that is because he doesn't want us having vision or stepping into the promises that God has for our lives. So they put it up there, just the recap, right, from 2 weeks ago. The 3D attack of the enemy is to distract from the vision. How does he distract us, right? He wants to get us listening to the opinions of man rather than the Word of God. Right? So he tries to come in and distract with the opinions of man, what people have to say or what people have to think. And after he does that, he comes to distort the truth, right? Because the longer we listen to what man says about a situation rather than what God says, the truth of God's Word says, then it becomes distorted, right? And then after that, the ultimate goal is for him to detour us from our destiny, because if we're distracted from the truth of God's Word and it seems distorted in our lives, we don't have clear vision of that, then we'll either stay where we're at and not keep moving forward, and we'll never reach the God-given promises in our lives that He's already given to us, or God forbid, we turn around and go backwards. We don't want that. Because that will result in us losing or having no kingdom spiritual vision. And remember, without vision, the people perish, according to Proverbs 29:18. It says, without a vision, the people perish. Okay? And so that was the 3D attack of the enemy. But the week before that, we talked about three things that can actually help us or help us step and press into kingdom spiritual vision in our lives. Anybody remember those three things? You don't have to. They're already up. Ha ha! Oh man, he provides it right before, even before we ask, right? He provides, all right? So those three things come from Mark 11:24. Desire, pray, and believe. These things help us have kingdom vision in our lives, right? Mark 11:24 says this. Jesus talking, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so what we do is we make sure that our desires align with God's desires and God's Word. We pray about them, and when we pray, we believe by faith to receive them. Amen? And then we watch the vision that God's given us come to fruition in God's timing. So all of these things apply to us on an individual level, but also as a body of people, as a group of people like this, like our church, a corporate body, okay? And so really today's sermon is going to be just a little bit different. because today, I feel led to talk about the church's vision, the vision for Remnant Church, okay? Y'all good with that? Y'all good with that? We're going to talk about some things that God has done, some things that He is currently doing, and some things that we believe He's going to do, all right? Now, I had originally planned to talk about this last Sunday, but as Ashley mentioned in announcements, the Holy Spirit just kind of came in and took over the service last week. Who was here last week to experience that? It was an incredible, incredible move and an incredible time in His presence. And we were just kind of letting Him do whatever He wanted to do, and lives were really touched. But last week, towards the end of the service, I looked over the congregation, and we gave a call for the men. All these men came up, and I saw all these men up here with their arms around one another, praying for one another. And then really, they turned around, they stretched their hands out and prayed for the congregation. And so they had their hands stretched out, praying for community, their families, their homes. And then the ladies were out here, and they had their hands stretched out, and Amanda was praying for them, and everybody was praying for one another. And I just stood back, and I watched from right here. I didn't really notice it until a little bit later on. I had my eyes closed praying the whole time. But when I saw that, it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what the kingdom looks like. This is what the kingdom looks like, the kingdom of God, right? It was a very powerful moment. And really, it was a monumental moment for me in my life. And I just believe there was something so powerful about what we saw and what we experienced last week. And for me, it was just really cool because I had planned to talk about the vision of this church, but God allowed us to see a glimpse of that literally last week, a kingdom family, right? So we got a clear, unfiltered picture of that. Can I just say I love this church and the people of it? I do. Amanda and I, we feel very honored and humbled to be able to serve as the pastors of this congregation each and every week. And really, just each and every week, we're kind of blown away by the goodness and the greatness of God that we were just singing about. I've had so many people over the years. Remnant Church has been in existence for 10 years, right? And over the past 10 years, I've had so many people who've come to this church for the very first time, and they have said when they came here, they just felt like it was home because the people were so friendly and nice. And guess what? That's you guys. Give yourselves a hand, right? Thank y'all for that. I've heard this a lot, too, over the years. My kids love it there, right? They love to go there. They ask all the time, is it church day? Is it church day? Or are we going to church? Because they want to go to kids' church, and they want to go to class. I've also heard this a lot, right? Man, that praise and worship is awesome, right? Those people singing on stage, they can sing so good. The girl playing those keys, that girl can sing. That's why we come, and that's why we are here. And I'm like, man, that's great, but I'm always thinking, well, how's the preaching? Preaching any good? But listen, it's no secret that our church has grown, and it's growing. Now, many may know this, but there's a lot of people that don't know this. We have new people every week. But Remnant Church started in the downstairs of Steve and Julie's house in Calhoun, 2015, so 10 years ago, right? And it started with 7 people. That was myself, Amanda, Steve and Julie, my parents, my dad, who was here this morning, which I got to have my dad with me all weekend. He lives in Gallatin, Tennessee now, but got to have him here with me this weekend, keeping me up all night, and I'm putting him down for naps and things like that. But it's been great. It's been great. But we started with just 7 people, Steve and Julie, Amanda, my parents, Terry. Miss Terry's been with us the whole time. And back then, when it was all transpiring, we may not have seen all what God had in store, but I can say this, we knew that God had more. That's why we started gathering, because we were hungry. We were hungry for more of Him, more of His presence. But can I just tell you that just as God had more for us then as a church, and we're seeing the fruit of that now, God has even more for us now that's getting ready to come to fruition. Anybody agree with me on that, right? There's more for all of us on an individual level, but there's also more for us as a church body, as Remnant Church. And so you guys heard the announcements. You've seen the building being built right up the road. Many have already come and helped lay a lot of that sod, spread mulch, plant grass, and do all sorts of things at this new church property and at this building. But many do not know the whole story, okay? So I'm going to share some testimonies of what God has done, hopefully to encourage your hearts of what God can and will do. Amen? So we realized back in 2015, back in really, we call it a basement, but it was really just a downstairs, that God was doing something bigger and better than what we had planned for, right? Because we did not set out saying we're just starting a church, right? But as we started growing, we went from 7 to about 15 to 20 to at one point we had about 40 people coming to this downstairs, right? They were coming regularly, and we were crowding out their downstairs, and we were crowding out the neighborhood for parking. There was nowhere to park. And so Steve said, we got to start looking for a building, right? Now, basically, I think he was saying there's too many people at our house all the time now. So we started looking, and we couldn't find anything really accommodating in Calhoun. Everything was actually too small and really too expensive. But Amanda and I really, we both had a strong pull in our hearts for Adairsville. Adairsville. I got family rooted in Adairsville, but we couldn't explain really why. We just felt a strong pull here. And so we had come to Adairsville to eat next door, and we saw that this side of the building was empty. It had a sign up above it across it and said, hey, for lease. So we started thinking, hey, maybe there, right? Maybe that's a place. And so as we were actually thinking and praying about it, we were talking about it. Justin and Casty, y'all in here? There's Casty. I don't know Justin. Oh, there's Justin. He's in the back. They've been with us since those basement days, our youth pastors. Isn't that awesome? They've been with us for 10 years. But they had came to eat. They said, hey, we went to eat Okinawa and Adairsville. I'm going to do my best Justin impression. We saw part of the building for lease. What do you think about that one? And it was like a confirmation of what we had already been praying about, right? So you know what we did? We called. We set up a meeting with the owner at that time of this building, and I came to meet him right here, right? Now, when I got here and got inside this building, I was a little shocked, okay? There were no walls in this place. There was no plumbing. There was no electrical. There was no heating and air. There was nothing. There was literally nothing here. This thing was literally just an empty shell of just a concrete pad, outside metal walls, metal roof. That was it. And so this guy started showing us around, the owner. He said, you know what? I could probably give y'all a really good deal on a lease on this building outright, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of money to get it where you need to be to house a church, right? And so that's not going to be cheap. And so it was at that moment that he said that it hit me. We didn't have any money. We didn't. We didn't know all that was happening. We weren't even taking up offerings or giving. We weren't even giving people the opportunity to give, right? And so I told the guy, I said, oh, man, we don't have no money. I'm so sorry. I feel like I've wasted your time, but if something changes, I'll let you know. And honestly, I left this place right here feeling so embarrassed because I'm like, man, we've never even collected a dime. And so maybe a week or so later, a gentleman owned this building called me and he said, I know I don't really know you. Y'all going to have to bear with me. He said, but I'm a believer and I just want to help you out. If you guys can get a loan for half of what it's going to take, I'm going to pay for the other half outright, and you're not going to owe me anything for it. So, man, I got so many stories where God just comes through. We talked to a bank. We got a loan in our personal names, and really, that first loan was on Steve. People don't realize, and I just say this out of honor to them. They would hate that I said this, but people don't realize what Steve and Julie sowed in and risked to help plant this church from their own personal just generosity, and they did it so selfishly. But we got the loan. We got to work. Of course, we had licensed contractors that came in and did a lot of the work, like the plumbing, electrical, things like that, had to have licensed people. But the things that we could do, we did. And we did the flooring. We did the painting. That's why it's not as good. Now, this looks pretty good because Chris and them came and redid it. We sprayed this thing. We did all that we could. This built this stage. They got pictures. That was after they got walls up, drywall. That was the beginning stages here. And you can keep those pictures going at whatever you got. We did everything we could. So many of us, myself included, we would leave work. We would meet here in the evenings. And we'd work to 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Look, there's Evan. He's in college now. This is his shirt. Right, he's in college now. It's crazy. My boy, my oldest boy. And so July 24th, 2016, we had our first service in this place. And really, we didn't know what to expect. We had, like I said, a good consistent 40 people that would show up, but we were not sure how many would come to this new place with this really young pastor who had hair. And it's funny, when we were going through all this, I thought about this. When we were going through this process, we would have different meetings and stuff. And every time we went to the bank or we met with people that were helping us, they would always start talking to Steve and just about everything. And then Steve would be like, "Why are you talking to me?" They're like, "You're the pastor." And he's like, "He's the pastor." And they're always like, "Oh, he looks too young." That's changed quite a bit, but we didn't know what to expect. We ordered 150 chairs, for the first service, and you can see there wasn't an empty chair in that place. It filled up the very first service in this place, 150 chairs, and it was incredibly humbling for Amanda and I. But before we ever had that first service in this place, Amanda and I wrote down the vision we believe that God gave us for this church, for Remnant Church. And we believe it with all our hearts, right? But we wrote it down because Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this: "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." So God placed it in our hearts, the desire to impact our community in many, many ways. And we wrote this down, and this is what it says. It's on that back wall, but I'm going to read it to you. It's our vision: to reach the world. They're putting it up there. To reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through outreaches of giving and lifestyles of love, to pursue the next great awakening for future generations. So when you come to Remnant Church and you hear about the outreaches we do, right? Like the one we just announced this morning, which is going to be November 23rd. And we're asking you to help us, right, fill these food bags full of food for people and families so they can have not just a Thanksgiving meal, but maybe just a meal they desperately need, right? And you hear that we're going to give them coats and hoodies and all these things and gift bags, right? When you hear about the over the summer, the back-to-school outreaches that we do, where we provide book bags and headphones and all sorts of other items to the children in this community, and all the surrounding area. These are not just things that we're doing to try and make a name for ourselves, but what we are actually doing is living out the vision that God's placed in our hearts for the church. What we are doing is we're attempting to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through outreaches of giving and lifestyles of love. We're trying to show anyone and everyone that walks through these doors or to any outreach, wherever we have it, where they come, that first and foremost, they are loved more than they could ever imagine by God, their creator, right? And that secondly, we as God's people, his ambassadors here on this earth, that we love them as well. So there's no strings attached. Just come, receive, and be blessed, right? And so we as Remnant Church, we want to love people. But we, as the pastors of Remnant Church, we've made a commitment to have outreaches of giving and to live lifestyles of love. In everything we say and everything we do, we actually want love to be the motivation. We want it to be our life. Not selfish ambition, not vainglory, but love for God, love for his people. Because let's get real honest this morning. If love isn't the real motivation, it all amounts to nothing. It all amounts to nothing. People will ask me all the time, Pastor Andrew, what's your theology on this? What's your theology on that? My answer is always the same. It's this. What does God's word say about it? Right? Everything I believe because it's written in the word of God. My doctrine, my theology is based solely on the word of God, rightly divided. Right? They'll ask me, hey, well, Pastor Andrew, what's your opinion on this or what's your opinion on that? And typically when they ask that, it's on a cultural hot topic. And I always say, hey, it doesn't matter what my opinion is, right? Because we all got an opinion. Let's just see what God's word's already said about that issue, right? So if God's word calls it sin, we call it sin. If God's word warns us to stay away from it, we stay away from it, right? And that's what I preach straight from this pulpit because it says it for a reason. I want to read you something that God's word says, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter, verses 1 through 3. I could read the whole thing. I'm just going to read three verses. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Everything we do, love must be the motivation, or it's nothing, and it amounts to nothing. That's not my word, it's his. We must live lifestyles of love if we're ever really going to impact other people, much less our communities. But the vision doesn't end there, right? With outreaches of giving and lifestyles of love. But it goes on to say, to pursue the next great awakening for future generations. I got to tell you this, our hearts are for revival. Revival, right? And when I say revival, I'm not just talking about having a guest speaker come in four consecutive nights and four services in a row. That's not what I'm talking about, right? Our hearts are for you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and every generation coming after that to have a lasting encounter with the presence of God that where their lives will never be the same, right? I want them to have that Damascus Road experience like Saul of Tarsus, right, that came and wrecked his world, changed his life in the very best way. I want people to have a Lazarus come forth experience where Jesus called out to Lazarus, right? And he came out of that grave, out of the stench and the death that he was in. And when he came out, he said, loose him and let him go. And the things of his old life just fell away. That's what I want for you and me and all of the children coming after us, generation after generation. I want them to have that life-changing moment where they realized the only one that was worthy to cast stones at them didn't. But what he did is he took a cross and he carried it on his back up a hill called Calvary. He laid down his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And he laid down his life. He stretched out his hands and he let them put nails in his hands and his feet. And he said in his dying breath, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love was the motivation. Love was the motivation there. And then he rose on the third day. And he gave us victory over sin, death, and the grave. Can somebody praise the Lord for that? If we receive that by faith, if we confess he is the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world, we receive that by faith, then we are seen as holy and righteous, and we are set free from everything that binds us. And I got good news. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? I want us to be a people, a revival people, that have the Word of God in us so richly that it bursts forth out of us even when we want to keep silent, because it's like fire shut up in our bones. I want us to be like Peter, have faith like Peter when it's uncomfortable and we got to get out of our atmosphere. But he says, step out of the boat. We can step out in faith and trust God to do what he's going to do, right? I want us to be a people of the Word. Right? Not just someone that pursues revival, but people of his word that lives out through the reviver himself, Jesus Christ. I want us to be a people that fulfills what Jesus himself said. This is John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus talking, if we believe in Jesus, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I want to be a part of greater things. He said, greater works will you do. I want to be a part of the greater things. I want to be a part of better things. I want to be a part of kingdom things. We want to pursue the next great awakening, not just for us, because we want a spiritual high, but for those coming after us, for future generations. And God is miraculously preparing the way for that. He's already prepared the way for that. In 7 weeks, we're going to step into and have a service in the new building. It's a building that God is providing for us. But this is something that's been real heavy on my heart. As the pastor, I cannot stress this enough. Our building and our location may be changing, but the vision is not. The vision is not. This is just another appointed time. It's part of the vision that is coming to fruition. And that is one thing that I do not want us to lose focus of, is the vision that God given us already, right? The building is great. The property is amazing. It's great. We still got property we're going to do stuff with, right? Because he does exceedingly abundantly. He gave us more than we ever thought we'd have, right? And so the property's great. The building's great. Everything about this is great. But God forbid we get so focused on a building, or we get so focused on a blessing, that we lose sight of the vision he's given us. Because God is the one who has made this happen. I'm going to tell you something. Amanda said this several times, but it was literally impossible without him stepping in. But he sent the right people. He sent the right contractor, right? He moved on the hearts of the people to help fund it, right? And I'm just believing we're going to be debt-free. Amen? We're going to be debt-free. He moved on the hearts of the bankers who initially said to us, this isn't happening. They told me to my face, right? It would be impossible for us to get y'all approved right now, right? You can't afford it. You're too high of a risk as a church. And then, boom, all of a sudden, things started happening, like one thing after another. Can I just remind somebody in this house this morning that it was the Lord who did it? From this place to the property to the new building, it was the Lord who did it. And we can't lose sight of that. The Lord's the one that did it. He uses men upon the earth, but he's the one that makes the way when there seems to be no way. The Lord did it. And I'm going to share with you real quickly three stories about our youngest son, Elisha. I'm talking about for future generations, right? And one is from the past when he was only about 2 years old. The one just a couple years later, and then the other one's just a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to share these three stories, and then I'll tell you why I'm sharing them. So Elisha will be 11 December 18th this year. He'll be 11, so he's 10 right now. But when he was around 2 or 3 years old, we were living at a different house at this time. Amanda, I remember this so vividly. Amanda, myself, and Elisha, we all got sick. This was before COVID. But we got very congested, our nose and our chest. We'd just been sick for several days. And then Evan, who never really gets sick, and if he does, he's a 24-hour turnaround. Just a real healthy guy, right? But Evan had gotten sick, and he was not feeling well, and he started running a high fever. So one night, he's running this high fever, and I got up, and he was laying in his room and on his bed. I told Amanda, I said, I'm going to go pray for Evan. I'm going to go lay my hands on him, pray for him. And Elisha's my little mini-me. If you haven't seen Elisha, he's my mini-me, right? I can't deny him. You would think I carried him for 9 months. She said, no, you didn't. So I got up to go. I said, I'm going to go pray for Evan. And Elisha said, I'm going with you, right? And he was the cutest, tiniest little thing. He's just a little runt. So I walked down to Evan's room. And my little mini-me's beside me. I sat down on his bed beside him where he was laying. I laid my hands on him, and I started to begin to pray. And I barely got one word out of my mouth before I heard Elisha start praying. He had his little hand on Evan, and he was praying out loud, right? And he said this, I remember. He said, Dear Jesus, take all the sick and the pain away. Whatever's causing it, make it go away. And so I waited. He didn't say anything else. And so I just kind of picked up where he left off and started praying. And when I'd finished, I proceeded to say, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. But when I did that, Elisha said, hold on, I got something else to say. And he closed his eyes one more time, and he said, Jesus, whatever is causing it, make it go away. And don't ever let it come back again. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. And as a two, maybe three, he may have been three, two-year-old, three-year-old, he prayed with such an assurance and with such a faith and with such a confidence, right? And it blew me away. Fast forward just a little bit, maybe 2, 3 years later. He's probably 6 years old. Amanda and I, we're here, we're cleaning the church, okay? It's close to our Christmas, so it's close to our Christmas outreach. And so the kids' church was actually filled with all kind of brand new toys that we're going to be given out at our outreach. And Elisha's here as we're cleaning. He saw all the toys, and he asked if he could open this particular one he saw. And I said, not right now, Buzz. I said, look, these toys are for other kids who may not get much for Christmas. Or they may not get anything, and we're going to bless them because God's given us the ability to do so, and that you're going to get something from us later. That's what I explained to him. And so went on about my business. I was vacuuming. Man always made me vacuum. And I was actually in here. I was vacuuming. All the doors are open, sanctuary doors, kids' church door. You could see from sanctuary door all the way into the youth room. And so as I'm vacuuming, I look up, and I see all the way into the youth room, and going back and forth in front of the youth room door, I just see Elisha. I mean, he's literally doing that. And so I'm like, did he get hurt? What? I just kind of drop the vacuum cleaner, go running to him, and I'm like, hey, are you okay? What's going on? And he looks at me, bawling crying. And he says, I opened it. I'm so sorry, but I opened it, Daddy. I opened the toy. And I just kind of began to smirk and laugh because at that moment, I was not angry. I was not upset. But what I saw is that he had a conviction in his heart that he knew he did something wrong, and he was literally crying in repentance because he didn't even play with it. He opened it, and then he just went into, I can't believe I've done this, you know, and he just confessed it. And so I explained to him, I said, Elisha, I said, what you're feeling, that's the Lord showing you some things. And I said, just talk to him about it. Tell him you're sorry, all right? And last story, and I'll tell you why I'm telling you these stories. A few weeks ago, Amanda and I, we went out of town to celebrate our anniversary. And it's the longest we've been away from Elisha in almost 11 years, right? And so we were gone for most of the week. And while we were, well, he stayed with Nana. And he told us it was like a vacation getting to stay with Nana. I'm telling you, this is not an exaggeration. In our pantry right now, he still got stockpiles of candy she bought him. Fun dip. He has one before every soccer game. He says it'll give him a sugar rush for energy. All right, so while we're out of town, we got a text letting us know something that happened with Elisha at school. Elisha's class had went to music class. And in that class, they were getting ready to do a song that most of the other kids had requested, right? But it was a song from a Netflix animated movie called K-Pop Demon Hunter, okay? And when that was brought up, Elisha, and he's got a good friend, two friends, he's got several friends, but these two good friends, Case and Croy Gwynn, they're twins, and I got to coach them one year, and we just kind of been best friends every time. I had the honor of baptizing those boys. But Case and Elisha, they both spoke up and said, we're not participating in that. You know what they said? They said, we'll have no part with evil. And they removed themselves from that environment, and they took a stand for righteousness, and they set an example for other students and even for teachers. Now, why did I tell you these stories? Maybe you can come. I'm getting ready to close. Why did I tell you these stories? To tell you that everything we are pursuing is for them. It's for them. It's for the younger ones. It's for those in the generations after us. And then those that come after them. Listen, the world and the devil, they aren't lying down on the job. They're going after our kids, right? But I want my kids, your kids, the kids of this community, and every generation coming after them to have an encounter with God, to have such a relationship with Him that nothing else in this world can satisfy them. I want them to taste and see that the Lord is good, and He is better. He Himself is better than anything else this world could ever offer them. I want us as a church, and as many other churches, not just Remnant, but as the body of Christ as a whole, to do what Ephesians 5:14 says. This is what it says. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We are in pursuit of the next great awakening. Why? For future generations. This is a part of the vision of Remnant Church. That's part of our vision. It is our heart. It's everything we're living for and working for. And that's not changing when we move up the road here. God's just preparing the way for more to receive it. Amen? Let me share this with you as I close. Sometimes it's not a matter of having no vision, but it's a matter of focusing on the wrong stuff. I'm going to read you a parable that Jesus told in Luke 12. Luke 12, starting with verse 16. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops. He was busting at the seams. So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So here is a man whose crops did well. And they did so well that he had to build bigger and better barns to house them all. And in that moment, he perceived and he thought and he saw he had an opportunity just to take it easy. In other words, he was saying, "I got it made now. I've done it. Look how great this is. I'm okay. I'm all right. I have plenty. I'm going to take it easy." He got so focused on his abundance that he lost vision, because there was still ground that could be tilled. There was still seed that could be planted. There were still seeds in the ground that needed to be watered. And yet there were still crops that needed to be harvested. I pray that we as God's people, as kingdom-minded people, as Remnant Church, I pray we do not get so focused on a building or a blessing that we lose sight of the vision He's given us. I pray that for our individual lives. I pray that for us as a corporate body, with all that God has done for you, for us, with all that God is doing for you and for us, and with all that He has in store for you and for us, that we don't lose sight and start to take it easy, but we continue to keep our eyes focused and to continue to advance His kingdom. I pray that we don't ever get too focused on other things besides Him, that we fix our eyes on Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We got a good thing going at Remnant Church. I believe that wholeheartedly. I celebrate that. We got a good attendance with great people. If you ask me, we got the best people in the world show up Saturday after Saturday and lay tons of sod. Show up to outreaches. I have people all the time tell me, "Man, you have more people volunteer for outreaches than I've ever seen at a church." And I can't say anything but praise God. He's brought the best people. We have awesome services. Last week I didn't even get to preach, right? This altar filled. It was just God moved in a mighty way. But just as the man in Luke 12 did, this is not a time for us to sit back and take it easy, because there's more. There's more for us to do. There's more for us to accomplish. There's more even for us to receive. We can't sit back and take it easy like we've got it made, because there's plenty of crops. When I say crops, I mean souls. There's plenty of souls that still need to be harvested. I know I've said it a couple times, but I'm going to read this and close. Just same chapter, Luke chapter 12. A few verses down, Jesus says this. Verses 35 through 40. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." You know what He's saying? Stay ready. "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open up to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and will serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had not known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready." Be ready. This is the Lord Himself. He says, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Can I just tell you what I see? I see the signs of the times, right? I believe that. I see that the master is coming because he said it. But I don't want to be caught unaware, not watching, taking it easy, not doing anything for him. So I look for him, but I also work for him. Fact of the matter of this is this. He's coming again. And when he does, this isn't popular preaching, but it is the word, right? I'm a word man, right? After his coming comes the judgment. It's clear. But the good news is this. This is the gospel, right? Jesus went to a cross so you don't have to endure the judgment. You can bypass all that. We access the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus. But there are plenty who are still unaware and don't see his coming. And it's our job as his church, as his people, to tell them. Would you stand to your feet with me? Just bow your heads and close your eyes if you don't mind. I just want to ask you a couple questions. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, even through the worship, as we sing about the goodness of God, I realized in my life that I probably haven't given him the praise, the glory, and the honor he's worthy of. But the first things first, right, is if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not 100% sure that I'm ready. Jesus said, stay ready. But you say, I'm not 100% sure I'm ready. And I believe you can know that you know, right? That you are a child of God. And so if there's any question in your heart and you say, I just want to be sure that this morning, I want to make sure I'm ready. If that's you, would you just throw up your hand, put it right back down? I see them. I want to be ready. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Andrew, I know I'm a child of God, but I'm just not really where I need to be with him. I've kind of started carving my own path, kind of doing things my own way, not his way. But I just want to live out the vision and the plan he has for me. I want to see things the way he sees them. I want to have clear kingdom spiritual vision for my life and for my family's life or whatever it may be. If you say, hey, I just need to get back on the right path. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, maybe you're like the man in Luke 12. And I think we all are guilty of this in some point or another, but it's just a matter of refocusing. But you say, hey, I kind of got distracted. I got my eyes on other things. And I haven't really been looking or working for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And I really want to make a commitment to do that. I've noticed I've been too distracted by this trial, been too distracted by this blessing. It could be polar opposites of one another. It could be a trial and a trouble that you're focusing on too much, or it could be a blessing and abundance that you're focusing on too much. But you say, hey, my focus has been off, and I just need to realign my focus and fix my eyes on Jesus. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Yeah. This is what we're going to do, right? Y'all can look at me, right? I do that because I never want to embarrass anybody, but I also want to give people an opportunity. I spoke to the high school this week. Went to Daresville High School, spoke to their FCA. It was an incredible experience. One of the scriptures I read was Jesus said, hey, if you're ashamed before me, before men, then I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. I want to give you an opportunity not to be ashamed. That's why Paul said, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changed my life. It's the power of God till salvation. So he wasn't ashamed of it. I'm going to give you an opportunity not to be ashamed, but I never want to embarrass anybody. That's why we bow your heads, close your eyes. But they're going to get ready to sing. They're going to sing a song. And if you raised your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, I want you to come to this altar. And I can promise you this, there's not going to be no judgment here. There's going to be love, acceptance, and us praying with you, praying for you. And we all need that. If you were here last week, you saw that. Right? We're kingdom family. We're kingdom family. So she's going to sing. If you need to come to this altar, the Lord spoke to you in any way, I want you to come.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.